So, Pastor Lenny, your dad had the belt. We had two forms of corporal punishment as I was growing up. On top of the refrigerator was a small sorority dance favor that looked like a small paddle. And that was lavished frequently, in my case, for minor misdemeanors. For felonies, and this, I only had two felony convictions, and that was my dad's oak fraternity paddle, said SAE on the front of it, hung in plain view in the family room, and when sentence was pronounced, you just started crying. So, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. My dad, Jerry Morgan, I was blessed to have a great dad. He was an incredible guy. We just lost him a couple years ago. But he served in the Army Air Corps during World War II on B-24s and was the bombardier navigator, sat down in the nose of that plane over the top of the Norden gun sight, and the rest of the time he was in charge of all the rest of the enlisted men on the plane. He was the officer in charge. Dad and I had gotten my pilot's license, and I was so proud. And two times we flew down to Reno for the Reno air races. And I put Dad in the right seat, co-pilot seat, with the big aeronautical chart. And he would try to guide me and try to figure out where we were. Luckily, I had a GPS on the yoke that showed me where we really are as we dodged through all the restricted military area. But the highlight, we're at the Reno airport where they're holding the air races, and the Confederate Air Force had flown in a B-24, and he gave me the tour. And he sat down there in that nose cone and showed me this Norden gun sight. And he told me, many times he told me as I was growing up, he carried a .45 automatic on his hip. And the reason he carried that as the bombardier navigator was so that if they were going to get shot down or going to be captured, his job was to shoot right down through the bottom of that Norden gun bomb sight because it was a unique bomb sight and they didn't want the enemy to have it. So I had lots of adventures with Dad. Things that Dad taught me. He taught me how to make good decisions based on right and wrong, fairness and honesty, to respect and protect women, to be tough, to persevere in adversity. He taught me honesty and work ethic. So Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Mom and Dad and my grandparents spent lots and lots of time talking about values, talking about honesty, talking about these things, basic right and wrong and what's fair. It's our job as dads to do this with our kids. It's because they're not going to get it anywhere else. They're not going to get it on TV. They're not going to get it from their teachers. It's our job to talk about the core values. If we spend the time we spend there pays off because we don't have to worry about them when we aren't around them. Ephesians 5, 25 and 30 through 30. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle of any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. My dad fiercely protected my mother. And I found that out. One of those felony occurrences. When I was bad mouthing my mother and used some language I probably shouldn't have. And it was a trip to the basement and down to the family room and grab your ankles. My dad stressed that you never lay a hand on a woman. And both my parents and my grandparents, especially my pappy, my grandfather, taught me all the polite habits. Open the door for a woman, stand up when they enter the room, help them get seated. And I slip at that from time to time, but then I kick back in. And I work hard at this in our marriage. So, James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So be tough, persevere in adversity. And that was always with Dad. You never quit on a project. You always finished. When I was an Eagle Scout, or was working towards my Eagle Scout, you know, it's 21 merit badges and a project and lots of jumping through hoops to get to that point. And I've got lots of encouragement from my parents. But the biggest thing was stick to it. Get it done. Don't quit on it. And at age 15, I was about the only dude in school that was still in Boy Scouts. And it was a little bit, not embarrassing, but it would have been real easy to quit at that point. But it's something I've always been proud of. That I got that done. So, honesty. Oh, man. This is the big one with my parents. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. My parents had no room for dishonesty. If I wanted to really get in hot water, this was the big one. Dad stressed it was a matter of trust. If you were ever caught in a lie, that person would never be able to trust you again. And the really sad thing that I see in our society is that we're surrounded by liars. You know, our politicians, the newscasters, you know, what do you believe? Work ethic, oh boy. Colossians 3:22 through 24, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whenever you do, work heartily. Whatever you do, work heartily, for as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Dad, when I got tall enough to push the lawnmower, guess who took over the lawn? He said, you know, from now on, we're going to get some work done. I've got this short window when I'm going to have you around, and by golly, we're going to get some work done. Our grandson Levi is with us, and he has a great work ethic already. He's been working his tail off, and we're paying him, and boy, every night he adds up how much he made that day. It's part of the work ethic training program. But he is one with the weed whacker. We live out on Pine Creek, and we're trying to knock down all the tall grass and reduce the fire danger. So Levi has really done a stellar job. You know, my dad was a great work ethic role model. He realized that he wasn't going to have any kind of retirement plan with the work that he did as a salesman, but he started on his own figuring out how to buy some property and then roll it over into another property and keep buying and selling. And he and I would, he had a 80 acres down at Rose Lodge, which is on the way between Portland and Lincoln City on the coast, up in the hills. And it was an 80-acre piece that had been logged 15, 20 years previous, and there was a lot of slash down. So he and I spent lots of time down there. And what we had an old 1947 International KB3 dually flatbed. And I would load that with firewood as we're clear and slash, and then come home and sell it for firewood back in Portland. And we'd do that lots of weekends. Now, people on the road didn't like us much because that thing would only go 47 miles an hour. And so that two-lane highway going to the coast, I'd look behind me, and it was cars stacked up behind me, and I'm driving, going down the road. That old truck was what I learned to drive in, and my sister learned to drive on. My mother once didn't have a car, so she took off in that truck up our steep old street, and she missed a gear. Now, this truck didn't have any synchromesh, so you had to double shift, double clutch everything, and most people don't even know what that is. Double clutch everything, and she missed. So you got to stop and start over. Well, she couldn't get going, kept killing it. The guy behind her is honking. And so she puts on the brake, she gets out of the car, goes back to the guy behind her and says, I got an idea. Why don't you get out of the car and go move my truck, and I'll get in your car and honk at you. So my parents always said that it was my job to have a job. Keep earning money. Work towards your college. Work towards the money you're going to need for dental school. And when we got done with dental school, and I say we because Gail worked hard to make that happen, we only had $8,000 worth of debt. Pretty amazing. So, fathers are the leaders, and they set the tone in the family. Our families look to us to be leaders in our family. You know, we took over, we Gail and I went off sailing for about 5 years, took a break at age 50, and it was wonderful adventure. But all of a sudden, reality set in. We had to come home and go back to work. Doggone. Anyway, we ended up in Newburgh and took over a dysfunctional dental practice there. A dentist in Beaverton had bought this and set up a dental practice, and his idea was to have young guys fresh out of dental school come in and run that dental practice, and he would just rake in the money. Well, it didn't quite work that way, and there was no supervision, there was no leadership, it was just utter chaos, and it was run by committee. The women in that practice, the dental assistants, the hygienists, the receptionists, would try to hold that thing together, and they'd gone through 8 different rookie dentists in a 3-year period. So it was just utter chaos. So Gail and I walk into this, and we're going to take this thing over, and these women are like this. And we're telling them that we've been doing this for a lot of years. We know how to run a real dental practice. And they're going, yeah, right. We've heard that before. So we did, and it turned into a wonderful experience in Newburgh. But that's what was happening, is that there was no leadership. We men have got to be the leaders in our family, and we set the tone for our families. A family should see the dad modeling a life of worship. They should see him in here. Should see him giving tithes. I kind of miss the days when we passed the plate, because that's what I saw my parents always doing, writing a check, putting it in the envelope, throwing it in the kitty. Serving others. Dad was always helping out with people that needed help. He was happy to share his faith. And sharing stories of God's goodness. You know, one of my favorite stories that I like to tell is we were in Ecuador with our sailboat, and we're heading north to Panama. And that means you got to go along the coast of Colombia. And Colombia on the Pacific side is not a nice place. So what we would usually do is go about 200 miles out and then circle back in. Well, I got greedy because there was a current pushing me along the coast, and I thought, wow, this is really good. We're really making time. And went down below one afternoon. It was flat calm, and we're motoring for 5 days, day and night, 5 days, to get up to Panama from Ecuador. And come back up after having a shower, and the first thing you always do when you pop back up from down below is you look around. And here is this big fishing boat bearing down on us. And I thought, what the heck's this? So I immediately jumped to the wheel. It's on autopilot, and spin the wheel to go away from this dude. And there's guys on deck looking at us with binoculars. And I thought, oh, man, we're going to get boarded. This is the big one. And I look up in the sky. Here's a Navy helicopter hovering over the top of this, comes down and hovers over the top of that bad guy, those bad guys, hovering over us. So I jumped on the radio and said, this is a U.S. documented sailing vessel, Otter. Good afternoon, guys. And the voice comes back on and says, well, good afternoon, sir. We'd like you to switch over to channel 22 Alpha and call Warship 56. Okay. Well, meanwhile, the bad guys have veered off and they're leaving, so I call Warship 56 and they come on and say, well, sir, we're kind of curious why you were closing with that fishing boat. And I said, I wasn't trying to close with that guy. I was down taking a shower, come back up, and these bad guys are zooming in. I'm just happy to see you boys. And I really believe that that was the hand of God. There was no other reason for those guys to be there. And I love to tell that story. Showing biblical hospitality. Our family always had an open door policy. I could bring anybody home anytime, any day, and my parents would just welcome them with open arms. And my mom was a home ec major, and her idea of hospitality was a chocolate cake that was always on the counter. So us kids would dive into the chocolate cakes. Staying fit. Dad set the tone. Or do you not know, this is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You know, as we think about our contemporaries, people our age bracket, or people that we live with, why do people quit doing what they enjoy? And we set the tone for staying fit, but what we see happening is that over time, it's kind of a slippery slope. As we age, and there's a lot of people that are my age and older in this group, there's less and less we can do because we just physically can't do that. And we're on this slippery slope going downhill, and pretty soon we've got a lot more doctor's appointments, there's procedures, we've taken more meds, we're sitting around more, and there's some science behind this. In our bodies, there's two chemical initiators, and this is really simplified. So if there are some experts out here, no heckling, because this is really bare-bones simple. There's two chemical initiators that turn our bodies on and off. One is cytokine 6, and cytokine 10. We're going to call it C6 and C10. Just keep it simple. C6, our body is always breaking down. And C10, our body is always remodeling and rebuilding. It's just part of what we do all the time. Now, here's the bad news. Aging causes that more and more often for that C6 to kick into gear. Stress increases the amount of C6. And just when we're sitting there doing nothing, there's this constant drip, 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 kind of like an IV. Think about an IV, and you've seen those where there's just a drip, drip, drip. There's just a constant drip, drip, drip of this C6 going in. Now, daily exercise kicks in the C10 to cause the healing and repair. If you don't get some exercise, all you got's decay going on. So the C6 keeps ticking away, whereas if you exercise, it kicks in the C10, and if you work out enough to get a sweat going, that will last for the rest of the day. And so you get repair going on for the rest of the day. If you aren't doing that, no repair. So fit men, in a study they did, they found that men that were fit and in shape have about a third the mortality of sedentary men. Sedentary men that got fit went to about half the mortality as they had previously. So my biggest goal as Levi and his brother Asher grow up is to be with them on the steep and deep and skiing down the slopes. I got to do that with them this year and took them to their, they've been working at the skiing thing with the Anthony Lakes Spring Break Ski Camp for the last 5 years. And I'm zooming down hard down this, these steep, gnarly powder slopes, and I'm thinking, oh, I better stop and let them catch up. And I look behind me, and they're right on my tail. So my goal is to keep going and be able to ski with these guys for as long as I can. So we're working hard at working out. Gail and I are trying to carve off some poundage with Weight Watchers right now. And there you go. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So dads, we got a choice. Live an intentional life. Lead our families toward God or away from God. Those are our choices. One or the other is going to happen. If you do it by committee, let your family run it by committee, it's probably going to end up heading towards the world instead of heading towards God. I'm determined to study the Word, live a godly life. I know I'll blow it from time to time. We all do. Levi could probably get up here and share stories about the times I've blown it. And I'll be the leader of my family. And I want my grandsons to see this. So, I've got some books that have changed my life. Probably one of the toughest one is Every Man's Battle. And it got my head on straight at the about the temptations around us. We men are bombarded with temptations, especially visual temptations. Younger Next Year, talks about all the things I shared with you about exercise and getting fit. It's a fun read. It's a skinny book. It's an easy read. You can even get it on audio, book on tape. And you can listen to it as you drive somewhere. Gail and I try to do this on every so often just to remember all this stuff and to kind of get us jump-started. And probably the biggest one recently has been with Lenny's study. We have a Friday morning group that meets at the Oregon Trail, and we've been reading through A.W. Tozer, who was a pastor back in the 50s and early 60s. And he is so profound about what he is talking about and how it relates to this crazy world we're surrounded with right now. And I was all wound up last night, laying in bed, wide awake, in anticipation of coming here today. And I pick up Tozer, and I'm reading chapter 9, Lenny, and it's talking about the big gulf between the believers of Christ and the world. And it has really got my head on straight as far as understanding who God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are and how that world affects us and wanting us to compromise our beliefs to match the world. So, great reads. So I thank you for letting me get up and pontificate with you. And I appreciate all the members of this body, and we're all in this together. Friends of mine that aren't believers don't quite understand why this Sunday thing is important. And that's kind of what it is. That's another Tozer thing. He says people kind of look down at you. They kind of, with contempt and maybe amusement of why we're here. But we know why we're here. It's because we all build each other up together.